Okay, this is Monday, May 14th, preview of coming attractions.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. And you are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of religious science to make us aware of that. And we do know that this thing that we call God or this thing that we call life, there is only one life, the life of the universe, the life of God, permeating everything and being individualized in each and every one of us. So, we have to know that we are part of this whole thing, that we truly are all that we are is God, but we are not all that God is. And that is one of the main things to try to get our mind wrapped around. It's difficult because the world does not teach that, and most of the institutions do not teach that. They want to teach you that there is a God somewhere sitting on a throne in a place called heaven, and that God happens to be pulling strings, you know. Years ago, it was brim and fire and all that. Anything that was a disaster, that was God being displeased and this, that, and the other thing. We've come a little bit further ahead in civilization to realize that that is not true. That natural things do happen. That's just the way of nature and so forth. And people, I think, are so ridiculous. When I was in the real estate business, we would tell somebody, when I'd sell a piece of property, I would show them that the land and the house that they were buying was on the floodplain. And I would put the map out and I would say that. They would buy it anywhere, and then when it flooded, they would get all upset. How could this happen to me? Well, it happens. It's like all the people in Malibu, when the mountain comes down and fills up their house with all that mud and so forth, that disaster, they get all upset. Don't build there. You know, you have to use intelligence and you have to use wisdom with everything. And people don't. They just throw it out the window. Then they say, oh, isn't that awful? We live in a horrible world and so forth. We do not live in a horrible world. And God has nothing to do with mudslides. They slide. You have to know that. Floods occur. That's a natural occurrence and so forth. That's a natural rhythm with nature. But we want to blame everything on God. And you can't. You can't blame anything on God. You have to know, oh, there is something out there. Let's call it God. And let's see if we cannot use it in some way to make our life here better so that we're on this plane of action. Because this thing called God, if it's so great and so marvelous and mighty and so forth, and if God absolutely loves us, that we are the beloved in whom it is well pleased, it certainly wouldn't create human beings, throw them down here on this plane of action and say, okay, fend for yourselves. God has to be taking care of us. God is taking care of the whole universe. There has to be some intelligence behind all of this. Why we throw that all out is beyond me. We have advanced, as I said before, from Stone Age people who were afraid of fire, they were afraid of this, they were afraid of that. Everything was something that a god was doing this to them and that to them. And look at the Greeks and Romans. They had a god that was doing this to them and that to them. And, oh, you can't believe that this thing called God is doing anything but good for you. That's what God is doing. God is showering down good all the time. And it comes around to that. Always comes around to that. Now, perhaps I can use Monk as an example. But you were so upset and so awful and thinking you're going down the tubes and all this and everything. Now you sold your property. Now it looks much better, doesn't it?
Amazing how a couple hundred grand could just lighten up that Wednesday's Thursdays for you.
Well, absolutely. You see? And you have everyone think, you know, we look at, oh, what a disaster. It's not going to be a disaster. You're always moving from your good to your greater good. But you have to give up something. You cannot hold on to the old and expect to get the new. And we do that all the time. Does anyone remember how you catch a monkey?
Catch a monkey.
They put a, like a coconut, a round thing with a hole in it, and they put the food in there. The monkey reaches in and grabs all the food that it can grab. Now it can't get its hand out, but it will not give up the food. And you have to give up so that you can withdraw. And we humans sometimes do not do that. We want to hold on to what we have. You may do that, but you cannot advance by holding on to the old. That is why do not think of the past, or you're going to repeat the past. This month, we are talking about previews of coming attractions. What are you previewing in your mind that you want to see in your life to take form in your life? If you look from the past and say, oh, it was so dreadful, 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 and it keeps doing that, you keep looking at that, that is what you are going to produce. You are going to produce that. So, think of what you really want. You know, you don't have to be effort with it and all. Just know, oh, things are getting better all the time. Do you get up every morning and say to yourself, oh, things are getting better all the time? Do you get up every morning and say, I'm feeling better all the time? You see? Every day and every way, things get better and better. But we listen to the news, we listen to the world, and the world tells us, oh no, nothing's getting better, it's going downhill. And it's not. Look in your own lifetime, all the advances that have been made, you know, when I was born before television, for goodness sakes. And look at that, how that has advanced. Everything goes, everything keeps advancing. We keep learning more and more and more. But what we don't seem to understand and what we don't seem to learn is this idea that we can participate in the universe itself, or we can participate with God so that we can bring into our lives what we want. The Chinese people, on their New Year, do everything that they possibly can to bring luck for the next year. They light this, they do that, you know, incense, prayers, everything. And when that's done, they set about making it come true. They don't just do that and think, oh, now it's going to be. They make it come true. That's the idea of God helps those who help themselves. You've got to make it come true. You've got to do it. If it's to be, it is up to me. If it's to be, it is up to me. You have to do it. We have that little saying in religious science, treat and move your feet. You must do something. You must take an action step. You must always do something. So, diligently, when you do that, when you say a prayer, when you do a treatment, when you do any of that stuff, then you have to live at that demonstration, at the level of that demonstration. You have to live at the level of that demonstration. You cannot say, riches are pouring down upon me right here and right now. And then in the next moment say, you know, I don't have a dime to my name. You cannot do that. You have to live at that level. You have to live at that level. Now, that doesn't mean rush out and write bad checks, people. That means you have to have a prosperity consciousness. You have to build a mental equivalent. And when you build the mental equivalent, all the rest comes to you. We started this, or I started this particular teaching, this series, I guess maybe 10 years by now. And that I did because it was called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. And it was for actors who were taking classes and couldn't pay for them. And the actors learned that they could pay for it, that the money was there for them, but they had to build a different consciousness and say, money is coming to me, and I'm using that money, I'm giving that money. It's all done in your mind, in your thoughts. So this whole idea of previews of coming attractions is done with your thinking. It's done with your thoughts. Everything is done with your thoughts, with your thinking. Everything that comes into your life because of your thinking. And that is the most amazing thing. We know that we can change our thinking. We can change our thinking. We can change our beliefs. We can change our viewpoints. We can change our opinions. And we certainly can change our attitudes. You have to change your attitude about life and about yourself. About life and about yourself. I read a little bio about an author today, just quickly glanced at it, and it said she discovered how wonderful God was, and along the way discovered that she was wonderful also. You have to discover that for yourself, that you're wonderful. You have to do that for yourself. Now, how do you do that? You get up and start to assume that that is true. You just assume that that is true because it is true. And you go on from there. All right, now, before I babble anymore, Andrew, press that around.
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
My words express the love and wisdom.
Words express the love and wisdom of God.
Our words express the love and wisdom of God.
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
And my words express the love and wisdom of God. You see, everyone wants to know God. You first know yourself, because we're becoming God, and God is becoming us. And we do that by using language, by using our words wisely. And you will start to see a difference in your life. So, the whole idea with these previews of coming attractions, what language are you using when you're doing that? Now, many people think that you have to visualize. I don't visualize. I feel things. I don't visualize like other people. I probably could, but I feel things. And as soon as I have that feeling, I know everything is going to be all right. So I look for feelings. How am I feeling about this? And what do I know about feelings? I can change them. I can change feelings. How do I change feelings? By changing thought. Because feelings always follow thought. Feelings always follow thought. People think, oh, I'm having a feeling. Well, you cannot have a feeling unless you're having a thought. So, train yourself to think what you want to think. Train yourself to think that you are a wonderful human being. That you're a magnificent human being, that you're a powerful human being, that you're a successful human being, and that you are drawing to you right here and right now what you want in life. Nothing is holding it back but your thinking. No one can keep you from your good but yourself. There is nobody out there. We hear people say, oh, it's your education, it's your background, it's the director, it's the producer, it's the casting agent, it was this, it's that. No. You can go that route if you want. But what does it? Is your thinking. It's your thinking that changes things. We've all run in to difficult situations in our life. But you have to look at that situation and know what? With God, all things are possible. And this situation is going to change when I change my mind about it. I don't know how many people here have ever suffered from discrimination. I was only ever discriminated against once in my life that I can remember. Only ever once, because I just don't do it. It's not in my consciousness to discriminate or to be discriminated against. It doesn't happen, you see. So, that's been done with your thinking. That's done with your thinking. You have to know that you're whole and complete and perfect right now, just the way you are. And no one can take that away from you except your thinking. Remember Eleanor Roosevelt? She said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Don't give your consent. And why do you want to believe somebody? Why do you want to believe somebody? You should believe yourself. You see? Believe yourself. So, I said last week, and I'll say again this week, and probably next week. You have to remember that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. You are not going backwards. That this thing called God does not sit in judgment upon itself through you. There is no such thing as punishment, and there's no such thing as a favorite of God. Everyone is a favorite of God. We get that idea that God had a favorite because of this man called Jesus. And then they made him the Son of God, and then before anything could happen, didn't they turn him right into God? Which is fine. But we then, if he can turn into God, why can't we turn into God? You see? You know. They want to make Jesus an exception. Do not do that. Jesus was not an exception. The one thing that everyone forgets, and first of all, let me back up a moment and tell you that in this teaching, religious science, we believe in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. Very little that's been said about him. So, what did Jesus say, and all the institutions that I know of, and all the churches that I've ever attended, completely throw it out the window. You can do this and greater. You can do this and greater. He did not say, I'm the only one that can do it, so don't even bother to try, people. I'm special here and this, that, and the other thing. No, he was never special. He said, if I can do it, you can do it. And that's what you have to remember. The same way when you go and you see people with money, say, oh my goodness, if they can have money, I can have money. If those people can have this, I can have that. But we're taught what? Oh, they have the money and I don't. They have the money and I don't. There are millionaires and billionaires being made all the time that came from very poor backgrounds. We can use Oprah as one of those people. Now, she certainly cannot believe in discrimination, or she wouldn't have gotten to where she got, you know. But if she can do it in a lifetime, there are people out there doing it all the time. Know that you can do that. We were brought up that other people had the money, you did not have the money, or that you didn't feel worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you mattered. Okay, we'll do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. So this whole idea, you know, that we can participate in our own lives and that we can make our life be what we want it to be and that we can bring in to our lives what we want. It's a fairly new concept, you know. My parents didn't have that concept, and I know darn well my grandparents didn't. They thought everything was left up to fate and everything. Now we know that we can participate in it by using our thinking, by using our mind. That this mind that we have been given is very powerful. Very powerful. And it draws things to us. It draws things to us. You, by now, have had to experience that idea of drawing things to you. I don't care. It could be very small. But you start with something small, you know, and then you just keep working up. You just keep working up till you're allowed. Because you're always stretching your mind. You're stretching your consciousness. You're changing the concept that you hold. You see, everyone has a concept of the world. Everyone has a different concept of the world. And you have to see, what is my concept, and am I willing to change this concept? Or am I buying into what the world is telling me, and am I a complete product of the world? Am I a puppet of my conditioning? Or can I see that and break out of that conditioning and become my own person? Become my own person. And that is what we're trying to teach, that you can do that. That you are actually an individualized expression of this one mind, and you can use this one mind any way you see fit to do it. So it would behoove you to look at your life and say, ha, that part of it is not working, so it must be my thinking. So let me change my thinking about it. Instead of habitually thinking the same thing. How many people do you hear say, that's just the way I am? That's just the way I am. You are the way you are because of your thinking, and you can change your thinking. It has nothing to do with parents, background, education, any of that stuff. It has to do with you. So, what are you thinking about yourself? How are you seeing your future? Are you happy with yourself right here and right now? Become interested in yourself. You're the most important person in your life. You're the most important person in your life. You have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to like yourself. And then use that thinking to improve your life. You can always improve your life, regardless. So, what preview of the coming attractions in your life do you have? What are you doing about that? This is a wonderful time in the history of man to be alive, because now we know that our mind influences things, and it certainly influences our life. Our grandparents did not know that. It was available, but they did not know that. We're learning to know that, and there's a few of us who know it. You know, when I say a few, I mean the different religious science or metaphysical teachings and so forth. The Catholic Church certainly doesn't know that, because they believe in fate, you see. And they certainly believe in tragedy. They believe in all kinds of disasters and tragedy and so forth, so that they can wail and carry on, you see. You don't have to do that. You don't have to wail and carry on and beat your breath and all that kind of stuff. That is old hat. Absolute old hat. Why do you want to do that to yourself? Change. Change. That's what we want. That's what we want in life, to change. But know that you're participating in this whole thing, that you have a say in this whole thing. My brother and I told you this story before, and I'll tell it one more time. When I was home in Pennsylvania, something happened at his business. I don't know what it was. And, of course, he's blaming it all on God. And I said, Jack, I don't think that's the way God operates. And he said, I wouldn't be so sure of myself if I would be you, Dallas. I stopped the conversation. I'm absolutely sure of myself that God does not punish me. If there's any punishing doing, I'm doing it. And I gave up punishing myself years ago. You know, I don't punish myself. I don't correct myself. You know, I don't do it. If it's a stupid thing, I don't do it again. But I don't say, oh, look what God's doing to me. What we want to say is, look how loved I am. I am the beloved in whom this universe is well pleased. I am the beloved. And nothing is going to take that away. Nothing is going to take that away. But these people who think that, oh, God is still judging, God is still punishing, God is still sending down all this disasters and so forth. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. In the 1920s, Religious Science had a conference, and a woman stood up in that. No, I'm sorry. Back up. It was in, 1920s, 1916, because that was the First World War. Stood up and said to a room full of Religious Science people, there is no war in the mind of God. People were appalled. How could you? Well, there is war there. There's no war in the mind of God. That's man-made. There can't be a war going on in God's mind. Your favorite. God is always in sweet repose. God's always reclining in sweet repose. Nothing upsets God. Otherwise, we'd have chaos going on all the time. So you have to know that. So, if you know that God is always in sweet repose, why aren't you always in sweet repose? Because you allow outside stimuli to affect you. I will give you a little thing that I do. I always remain calm, cool, collected, poised, and serene in all situations. I always remain calm, cool, collected, poised and serene in all situations. Try it. It works. You don't get upset with the traffic. You don't get upset at the doctor's office when he says, "I have to sit there for an hour. Why?" Something happens, you see. You tell, well, you remain calm, cool, collected, and poised. We have to learn to do these things. So with this preview of coming attractions, what are you becoming while you're doing all that? You have to know that you're becoming God. That was that whole idea here. My words express the love and wisdom of God. How else is the love and wisdom of God going to be expressed except through you? It has to come through you. It's not going to come down manna from heaven. It's going to come through you. We have a wonderful saying in religious science, God can only do for you what God can do through you, through your mind, through your mind, which reminds me of a little thing, and I'll use Paula this time. You finally caught on to the idea that with the mind and what we do in the mind influences the outer world. You used to use the word lost, remember? Mm-hmm. Yes. If you lose the word lost, there's nowhere the mind can go. There's nowhere that God can work through that. If you say it's misplaced, God then can come and look around. You see, we stop ourselves with our language, and we stop ourselves with our concepts and so forth. And God, as I always tell everyone, is so polite, God is not going to contradict you. God's not going to contradict you. So, loss. No such thing as loss. God knows where everything is in the universe. God knows where everything is in the universe. I hear people say, I lost my job. You can't lose a job. You can get fired. You can be let go. You can quit a job. But you haven't lost a job. If you lost a job, you're never going to find a job. You're never going to find a job. Every time I've ever been let go or decided to quit or something, I clapped my hands and I said, oh, thank goodness I'm free now for something good to come into my life. And something good came in. Why? Because I know I'm always moving from my good to my greater good. Always moving forward, never backwards in life. You see? But we're taught all these wrong concepts. So, with this idea of what is the preview in your life, if you think there's lack and limitation, if you think there's loss in life, you're going to experience those things. You're going to experience those things. This teaching teaches cause and effect. It does not teach chance and luck and all that. Doesn't teach that. You can live in that, but that's called the law of averages. And we do not live in the law of averages. We live in the law of cause and effect. So, what is that? What I'm thinking about, I'm bringing about. What I'm thinking about, I'm bringing about. And you've known that in your own situations when, before this teaching perhaps, you had negative thoughts, you had negative things, and that came into your life. That came into your life. So now change that attitude to a positive attitude and say, things are working in my life. I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road. God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. Where there appears to be no way. And you'll see things happening for you. Because it opens up your consciousness. It stretches your consciousness so that this thing called God, intelligence, wisdom, now can operate in there. Now can operate in there. You see? Most people want prosperity and abundance. And if our prosperity and abundance were in front of you, what would you do? Most people only take a thimble to fill up with their prosperity and abundance. Get rid of the damn thimble, people. Back up a great big truck and load it up. You can have all you want. You can have all you want. But most people go to the well with a thimble. If you go to the well with a thimble, how much water can you get? Only a thimbleful. You have to always keep changing your container, which is your mind. You have to change the container. So you start with a thimble, you go to a bucket, then you go to something larger, then you get to a big tanker truck, and you just keep going and going and going and going. Because this thing is infinite. This thing is infinite. But it can only work through your consciousness, through the mind that you give it, through the mold that you have. If it's only this big, that's all it can work with you. And you may have a good life that way. I'm not saying you're not going to have a good life. But you're not going to get all the stuff that you want because it can't fit in the container. You have to make the container bigger. You know? It's an easy concept. Easy concept. So, learn to watch the movements of your mind. Become a witness to your own thinking. And when your thinking starts to think, change it. Change it into what you want it to be. So, what are you holding in your mind right now about tomorrow, the next day, or the next week? Because what you are thinking about right now is the preview that you're going to get of the coming attractions. So, if you go to a movie house and you see the preview and you show up for that movie, the preview tells you what the movie is going to be, doesn't it? It doesn't change when you get there and you say, oh, I watched that preview. This isn't the wrong movie. You watch a preview of coming attractions. Your thinking is the preview of coming attractions. What are you thinking about? Are you holding yourself always in the highest of esteem? Are you holding yourself always in the highest of esteem? Are you always seeing money freely circulating in your life? Or are you listening to the world out there that tells you right now money is scarce? Money's not scarce. There's money everywhere. There's money everywhere. I do not understand economics. I do not wish to understand economics. It's a wonderful book. If no one's ever read it, it's called Spiritual Economics by Eric Butterworth. It's a wonderful book. But the world type of economics, I do not understand. Nor do I want to understand. I've worked out a system of my own, and that system is, I always have plenty of money. I always have plenty of money. I have plenty of money to share and to spare. Always. And I don't listen to the news and I don't listen to all that stuff that's going on out there. But as you run around this city and you see and you hear people say, oh, there's no money, this isn't going on, that's going on. There's building going on all over. There's building going on. Where's the money coming from for those buildings? Where is the money coming from for apartment rentals and so forth that have not going down? If no one has any money, why are apartments $2,400 and $3,000 and $8,000 and all this kind of stuff? There's a house in my neighborhood for lease for $8,200 a month. For $8,200 a month. And they'll get that $8,200 a month. You see? So it's there. The money is there. When I was in the real estate business, and it was a horrible time, interest rates at one point were 18%. And people said, you'll never be able to sell anything. No one is going to buy anything. Who's going to pay 18%? I said, I'm not talking about the people that have to come borrow money. I'm going to talk to people who already have it. I'm going to talk to people who already have the money. And I sold properties to people who had cash. They didn't care about 18% interest rates. Always it's out there. Anything that you want is out there. Always. So with this idea of preview, think of that idea that God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. Do something to make it come true, and it will come true. The other thing to remember is this. What you are seeking is seeking you. What you are seeking is seeking you. I use that one at least every other day. And I'm always surprised what pops into my life. Always absolutely surprised what pops into my life. So, it works. What I'm trying to, I guess, say to you is, this teaching works. I've been in this teaching now 40 years. And I haven't had one bad day in 40 years. I've never run out of money in 40 years. I've been out of work. But I've never been out of money. Things have gotten, on the facts, a little low. But I immediately went to the truth. God is my source and my supply. I went to the truth of the matter. You cannot look at facts. Facts change. Truth remains the same. Truth remains the same. One more point, and then I'm going to do my cards. Bring yourself to a point in consciousness where you know that you are being taken care of. You have to know that you are being taken care of. You do not know how that happens, but it happens. You were taken care of, were you not?
Well, you ain't kidding.
Yeah. Okay. And you were down in the dumps.
For years.
But he's been... You, we're all being taken care of. So don't look at that stuff that's in front of you. Don't look at that stuff that's in front of you. See the world the way you want it to be, not the way it is. That's the most marvelous thing that we can do with our mind. We can see things the way we want them to be. Why is that? Because we see with the mind, not with the eyes. And when we look at something, we see it the way we're thinking, not the way it is. So change your thinking. Change your thinking. Change your beliefs, your attitudes, your viewpoints, your opinions. And your life will change. Things will happen. It's a great experience, this thing called life. A great experience. Use it. Savor it. Every moment of it. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Okay? Previews of coming attraction. Let me do some cards. The truth is that I created you in my image and likeness, and you are destined to realize this equality in its fullest measure. The missing link in this realization has been the surface mind and its tendency to remain focused in the wrong direction. Don't focus your mind in the wrong direction. That's the power that you have. Remember that little thing I used to tell you? I'll tell it one more time. If there's a garden here of beautiful flowers and a trash bin over here, now which one are you going to look at? Which one are you going to look at? Look at the flowers, for goodness sakes. Who wants to look at the trash barrel? By the way, metaphysically in the Bible, when it says, turn the other cheek, it means to turn and look in another direction. If you're looking over here, turn your cheek in that direction to the flowers, not the trash barrel. That's all that little thing means metaphysically. Turn the other cheek. But people want, ridiculous. Ridiculous. They want to do that. You know. I had a friend recently, I had to hang up on him, trying to tell me about one of his operations. And on and on and on, I finally said, oh my God, I've got to go. Why would you want to dwell on that? Why would you dwell on that? It's ridiculous. Can't dwell on that stuff. Much suffering, much unhappiness arises when you take, I love this one, when you take each thought that comes into your head for the truth. Thoughts are only thoughts, people. But we think that we have to entertain every thought that comes in, and we think if we thought it, it must be the truth. Oh my God, if I thought every thought that came into my head was the truth, we'd be down the tubes. No, I have absolutely ridiculous thoughts. But I look at them and say, oh, that's a ridiculous thought. I don't want that thought. Get rid of that thought. Go back to the nothingness from whence you came. Don't do that to me. And then I go on about my business. That's the only way that you can do it. I'm saving this one card for the last. I love this one. I've done this one for you before, I remember. I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way. I work in tandem with God to be a divine expression in my own way. Do not be like everybody else. Be an individual. Think for yourself. You can come to these classes, you can go to churches, you can go to lectures, you can read books, you can do anything. But then, use your own mind. Interpret it the way you want to interpret it. Who are these people who think that they know the answer to something? They don't know the answer to something. They don't. You create, this one. You create what you see by the beliefs you hold about what you are looking at. You create what you see by the beliefs you hold about what you are looking at. See? What is that? What example could you come up with about that one? Well, people who wear turbans have to be terrorists. That's a belief. It has nothing to do with it. What you create, you create what you see by the beliefs you hold about what you're looking at. If you're looking at a turban, a man in a turban, if your belief is he's a terrorist, you see a terrorist. It has nothing to do with the person whatsoever. Everything has to do with your belief. It has nothing to do with the person or the thing. Nothing to do with it. Always your belief. What are you believing about that? Do you think everyone is created equal? Do you think everyone is nice? Or do you think people are out to get you? You know. I don't think anyone's out to get me. First of all, no one would want me. You know, I'd drive them crazy. They'd throw me back. Mm-hmm. So, look at that. What is, you know, and you hear that all the time. Oh, they're awful. No one is awful. No one is awful. They may do awful things, but then stay away from those people. That's the garbage. Don't look at it. Look at the other things around. Look at the other things. that you have. See what you want to see in life. And be what you want to be in life. Not that the world is telling you to be. Not what your parents are telling you to be. Be what you want to be. And we see that, especially in this city, when you are the person that you want to be, the whole world comes to you. The whole world comes to you. People like sincerity, they like honesty, and they like somebody that is an individual. They like that. We have enough of the humdrum people out there. Don't be a humdrum person. Well, this teaching usually doesn't attract humdrum people, or if it does, they only come two or three times and then you never see them again. You never see them again. You can do this. Now, this is my favorite one. I remember I brought this card one other time. Suffering is optional. Isn't that lovely? Suffering is optional. Did anyone ever tell you that? No, they say you must suffer. It's a choice, people. Everything in life is a choice. It's optional. You do not have to believe that. Institutions teach that. Oh, you must suffer. Because this man, Jesus, look at him. He suffered on the cross. You know, we didn't suffer long. You people, some of the people, have been suffering for 30 or 40 years. Don't do that to yourself. Don't. Say, this is optional. This whole suffering thing is optional. I don't have to suffer. I think, and this is only my opinion, that this whole idea of suffering, people think that dignifies life in some way. And I don't think it dignifies life at all. Why would anyone want to suffer? Why? I don't like it. I don't like suffering. And I don't do it. A lot of things I don't do. I don't do shame. I don't do guilt. I don't do suffering. I just give all those things up. Let other people do that if you want. But it's all a choice. It's optional. Your life is a choice. Choose what you want to see in your life and you will have it. Those are the previews of the coming attractions. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.